Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Take Two Radio Music. I almost felt like doing like a Dracula intro. Good evening, everybody. Oh. Welcome to Take Two Radio. I'm Pam, your host. Yes, I'm the nutball. And with me tonight as my co-host is David, and most of you know who he is by now. Hello, David.
Hi, Pam. How are you?
Oh, I'm excited. Can't you tell?
Yes, I'm very excited today.
Well, why don't you go ahead and start out the introduction?
I will. Thank you. Today, our special guest is a two-time Daytime Emmy winner for Outstanding Supporting Actor in Guiding Light for his role of Ross Marler.
And also the very, very handsome Clint Buchanan, Mr. Jerry Verdorn.
Welcome, hello, you Jerry. Two. Thank you, Pam. Thank you, David. That's very nice.
That was something different. Normally I announce all the guests, and David wanted to get in there because he just thinks you're the bee's knees.
The bee's knees. Well, he did a good job. And here we are.
So how are you today? How's it going? What you been up to?
Well, good. I just came back from Stamford, Connecticut, and that is where we taped the show. And I visited my friends and all my children who are now taping. And the reason I went there is that I did the show that's going to air every Friday, which is going to be like a recap, a tease for the next week, interviews with a bunch of actors, some outtakes. It's going to be a very good, fun day for the fans to see because it's something completely different. And we taped my episode. I don't think I'm giving anything away by saying I was interviewed in a set I'm very familiar with in Vicky's Lord Library.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a lot of fun, and I got to say hi to my friends and all my children, and I got back about 4 this afternoon, and here we are together.
Yay! Yes,
Yay.
We are together, and everybody is beyond excited to have both One Life to Live and all my children back. This is a day that we have fought for 2+ years? And it's just, or maybe 2 years, I'm not sure exactly of the date right now off the top of my head. Either way, we've been fighting a long time.
Isn't it wonderful to actually say that even, to say welcome back to One Life to Live and all my children? Because there were so many people, and myself included for a while, that thought, this is impossible. I mean, we had a nice run. They tried to do it, and the reproduction of the whole shows became a soap opera in themselves. I mean, it's on, it's off, it's on, more rumors, it's on, maybe it's on in a different way. So everybody was just sort of, and once they got disappointed the first time, they became a bit jaundiced. They became a bit bitter, saying,
right,
we've been teased, we've been punked, we've been, all this stuff. And then when the rumor started again about, this could actually happen, because they started agreeing to contracts with the unions, then momentum started gathering, and oh my gosh. And then I got a call sometime, late December, saying, I think this is a go, was the voice on the other end. And I said, well, keep me posted. And they did. And once I heard the basic structure of how it's going to be run and who they had hired, it was such quality people that I said, after about 15 minutes of thinking about it, I said, I'm on board.
Yeah.
And so here we are today. And I think until April 29th, which was our first air date on Hulu, Hulu Plus, and iTunes, until people saw it on the screen, I don't think they really believed that this was happening.
I know. I do have to say that when I heard the rumblings again of it starting up, I was one of those people that kept saying, until I see it on my screen, I'm not going to believe a word of this because of what happened the prior time. But as more and more information came out and more of the actors started, verifying the information was correct, it made you want to believe again. And, you always have that hope in you.
Exactly. There was always hope that it these people who are not newcomers to show business, Prospect Park I'm talking about.
Right.
They are two very intelligent men who run this, Rich and Jeff. And I knew something was going to happen even after the first disappointment, because these two guys are not only good at what they do, but they're competitive. And they own the lease on these two shows for 11 more months after the initial disappointment by saying,
mm-hmm.
we're not going to do this anymore, which happened to be on my birthday, November 23rd, by the way.
Oh.
And my wife said, well, this is God telling you to retire.
Oh, oh no.
And but I said to her, they've got this situation in their pocket for 10 or 11 more months, or knowing these guys, I doubt they're just going to sit on it and do nothing. And as it turned out, they started immediately after they announced they weren't going to do it, they started working on a way to do it in a different version.
So they restructured of how they were going to initially do it?
Yes, because they were very, very aggressive at first by saying it's going to go off ABC Friday and it's going to be on the online network on Monday morning. Well, you know, that's tough to do, particularly with two shows.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the casts lives on the West Coast, and the other cast lives on the East Coast. So the logistical problem, and then, you know, all they had to deal with four unions, the writers and the directors and the actors and, you know, one more union. And they had to completely, because this is uncharted waters, this is not network television, they had to completely work out a new contract for each one of these unions. And
mm-hmm.
that, as you well know, that doesn't happen very quickly.
Right, right.
So anyway, they started trying to figure out, you know, how can we do this show 52 weeks a year with one group of people living on the West Coast and the other people living in the East Coast, and we don't have any more sets because ABC destroyed them all. They'd have to start from ground zero. And so that's essentially what they did. They started from show business ground zero, and I was shocked the first day I walked in and saw the studio, and I started working. It was so wonderful.
David, did you want to say something?
I was just flabbergasted by how well it looked compared to your ABC sets.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can imagine me on Monday morning, I said, oh, my God, these
really?
People know what they're doing.
Yeah. I thought it looked lush, sounded great, moved along. And, you know, they rebuilt all these sets, and the Lord Library looks like it always did, except better.
Right.
And, yeah. And that's what Erica Slezak said. It's like being in the Lord Library, except much improved. And all the comments I've been getting is sort of goes around the phrase, it looks better than I thought it would. Meaning the production values and the audio and
yes.
all the number
oh, yeah.
of cast members they got back. It exceeded expectations, which is always nice to do.
Right, exactly. I mean, we were all very impressed with how everything looked on the sets. It's just, even the outside scenes look, you know, so much more real than what they do on TV.
Yeah,
I know.
And it worked very well.
They have hired from, because I've seen technical people from CBS, ABC, and NBC. So they've hired a lot of, we've got some great cameramen and audio people, and they hired the same wardrobe people. Each show got about 90% of their cast that they wanted to come back. And the recast on our show, at least, I don't know about All My Children, but the recast on our show, these are terrific performers.
They are.
Corbin Blue, yeah,
mm-hmm.
and Robert Gorey and Laura, who plays Destiny. They're gonna be household names in about a couple weeks.
Definitely, definitely. I'm very happy with the recast because that's not an easy job to have.
No, it is not. And, you know, I know firsthand that being a recast myself in this role, and to be honest with you, back 8 years ago or whatever it was, I actually had qualms about whether I wanted to audition for this, and they did hold auditions because there were about four or five guys they were looking at. And I wasn't quite sure that I wanted to do a recast of such an important character because over the years I'd seen audience members, you know, not take to a recast.
Right.
And that can make a performer's life difficult.
I would say so.
You know, if everybody is saying, yeah. But he's not, you know, he's not really that guy. The original guy is that guy.
Yeah.
So, so I'm glad that we got these two young people and that they have such a large storyline. I'm trying to not give away a couple of things.
Yeah.
Right.
But they're heavy in the storyline coming up.
Well, what's it like to see? I mean, first of all, there's one thing where they age the children, but these children have really been aged. What's it like to see the young kids so grown up now?
Who are you speaking of directly, like the babies?
Yes.
Yeah, the babies, as it's not uncommon in daytime, they suddenly age by 2 or 3 years, and it helps. You know, you get a creative license with the audience. They will accept that if it propels good story forward. And that's what they're doing, and that's what we're about with these kids.
Yeah, it's kind of strange to see them talking to the old, you know, like you guys talking to the kids, but they're actually teenagers now and more like, I'm guessing, in their 20s because they're all drinking, you know, going to the club. So it's strange, but yet it fits. It fits with what's going on now.
I think it fits. And we had a, let's see, what day was it? April 23rd, I believe it was. We had a premiere where they showed everybody who was involved with the shows and some fans, and I don't know how the fans got these tickets, people have been asking me, but it was a good idea to have fans there because they brought a lot of energy to the evening, and it they were sort of the spokesman for other fans saying, yeah, it actually happened, I saw it. You know, there are episodes, the show's going on, I saw all my children, and then I saw One Life to Live. So it was good publicity in that way, and that was the first time I had seen it put together because from the very moment we started, we've been shooting out a sequence, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't really know how it's going to look and how it's going to sound. And you know, you have an idea in your head, especially the veteran players, but you don't really know until you see it spliced together by the editors. So
this is true.
I was very, very as surprised as the fans that
now,
it looked so good.
What were your emotions when you saw the first episode?
They were very similar to when the first time I walked onto the set with Erica, and there was Bob Woods, and, you know, there's Hillary, and all your old friends that you haven't seen for 14 months, and you're suddenly given scripts, and you're back dancing together in very familiar sets and doing new story. So it was very exciting, and the first time I saw the brand new opening and then the show starting, it was sort of, I was similar to fans. I'm saying to myself, oh my God, this is actually happening. and we're going to make it happen for the, you know, heaven knows how many years to come.
David, you wanted to ask a question?
Yeah, I have a regards to the industry in general. How do you think, how has the face of daytime changed since you made your Humble Guiding Light days?
Well, I even I preceded Guiding Light by about 5 years on, you know, I was doing theater in New York and commercials and everything else. But I think my first venture into daytime was I was a delivery boy on Ryan's Hope, in which must have been 1975 or 6 or 7. And compared to the way we shoot now, back then it just seems quaint because Ryan's Hope was a half hour. They did just one episode. They did it in sequence on tape. And then they went home. So it was like, you know, you'd do 21 pages that were in sequence and made sense, and then you left and came back the next day and did them. And now it's because of technology getting better, I think, is that, you know, they can edit tape better, and everything's digital, of course. And so now we shoot things like movies. You shoot way out of sequence, and you shoot parts of scripts just because the set is standing up. And whatever's written in that set, that's what you're going to shoot today. So it's very difficult to get an angle on how it's going to look. Now, this is not disturbing for actors at all because, you know, that's the way they've been shooting movies for 100 years. But in terms of the progression of how soaps work now, it's way different. And you're going 100 miles an hour and you're shooting about, you know, even with the reduced minutes of what we're doing now, we're shooting like, you know, 50, 60, 70 pages a day.
Wow.
That's a lot.
And so I would imagine you're there morning till dusk.
Yeah, and many times, yes. And the job I wouldn't want to have is editing all this together.
Yeah, right.
Because those people are those people are very busy people.
Somebody in the chat room, she goes or he goes by It's Only the Soaps, asked, who does Jerry share his dressing room with from AMC?
You know, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Maybe
and
you
I should
guys
have known
need
today,
to have
except,
a meet.
Except I peeked in there and the room was dark, so whoever I'm sharing the room with didn't work today. But it's kind of strange for the people who are there all the time, like the stage managers. Just every 5 weeks, in comes this new cast, and then you know, 5 weeks later, in comes another cast, and it certainly keeps people fresh. But it's a very interesting way to shoot a show, and it's part of the model that Prospect Park has come up with that makes it doable to do these shows.
I think maybe you guys need to have a meet your neighbor day.
I know. Once all the dust settles, we're just going to have one day before all my children goes back to the West Coast to just go out to dinner.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
You never know. I mean, I don't know if you are the type that likes everything spick and span and everything in its place, and maybe somebody you're sharing with might not be like that.
Oh, I know. I hear you. And I'm not a spick and span guy, but I am a neatnik. I, you know, I like to have things in their place, or else if they're not in their place, I can't learn lines. So
well,
it
yeah.
has to be, you know, somewhat neat.
Now, speaking of learning lines, how do you do that? Do you have a specific way of doing it and a specific place of doing it?
Well, now it has changed again because we used to get scripts 4 weeks in advance of the actual date where you tape it.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's a little closer, and I think we go back May 20th. So I will start getting scripts around May 13th.
Wow.
But from what I'm hearing, I'm going to be a very busy boy, so I'm going to be having lots of scripts. So, yeah, I get the scripts and look at the day and how many we're shooting in that day. Then I break it down, and then I learn it accordingly. You know, sometimes you have to stay up quite late to stay on board, because the last thing you ever want to do is fall behind, because if you fall behind, you're lost.
Right.
they just keep taping, and, you know, you have to stay on top of it. So, like I say, I'll get scripts May 13th, and believe me, I will start learning them on the morning of May 13th.
Now, do you guys, because it's it's done differently, do you guys get to do more than one take, or is it more or less one take you're done?
No, no, it's still similar to what we did on the network. It's you try and get it in one take, and sometimes the actors mess up or the director messes up and gets the wrong shot or lighting's bad. And, you know, there's dozens of reasons why you could do the scene again.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're not strict about, you know, getting it all in one take. What they want is a good show. So,
right.
Yeah, so whatever department screws up, they correct their mistakes, and then we do it again and try and get the best scene possible.
And it's a learning experience, too, for everybody with the way things are being done now. So you have to expect mistakes initially, and I would imagine it'll get better as time goes on.
Especially you have to expect the new people to,
mm-hmm.
you know, have at least 3 weeks to, you know, get used to things. And, you know, it takes 2 days to find out where the men's room is and, you know, and where the food is and the coffee and everything. And
the
then
important
you gotta
things.
Yeah. And then you got to get comfortable with the people, the new people that you've just met and you're working with and you're working with in a hurry. So, you know, there's a learning curve situation where, you know, 3 weeks until the real talent that they have naturally shows up.
Right, right.
Right.
Yeah, and I would imagine it's that way with anybody that's new to the industry or even work just a little bit, maybe only on one show. And a soap is so much more than just doing a primetime show or a movie because, like you say, there's a lot of scripts and you have to learn all of that for one day. It's not for a whole movie. So
yeah,
they
that's
have to
right.
get used to that.
You have to get used to the enormous amount of material. And then if they're doing a recast like Matthew is or
mm-hmm.
Destiny is, they have done a lot of homework watching tapes and, you know, learning the story that came before they took over the role. And so, you know, that's another learning curve that's separate from, you know, just getting comfortable.
Right.
So these people are going through some tough times. And then, like Corbin Blue, who's creating a new character, you know, he's got to have time to get to know Erica and myself and how we perform because he works a lot with us.
Mm-hmm.
And he needs to know some backstory, too. So there's an awful lot of homework for everybody.
Now, have you been approached by, I don't want to call them old people, but older, you know, adults that have been used to watching these soaps on TV for the last 40 years or so, saying, you know, okay, it's back on. Now, I can't watch it because I don't have a computer or I don't know how to work it or anything like that. Have you had any of that kind of reaction to you?
I have, and they asked Erica and myself to address some of that by we made an instruction video, essentially,
mm-hmm.
for people who might be of a generation that's, let's say, over 40 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And our emphasis is how simple it is to do it. And once you get it done and on whatever receptor you have, a television that's online ready or a PC or a tablet or a phone. Once you get used to Hulu and Hulu Plus and iTunes, you will just curse all those years that you had to do a VCR or you had to watch it live off the air or, you know, whatever thing you know, TiVo even is like obsolete now. This is like a soap opera person's dream because they can watch it when they want. They can watch it again.
And
they
again.
Can go back. If they're on episode 18, they can go back and look at episode 2 and find out what happened. I mean, it's like reading a book. You can just go back. And as reading a book, you can pick it up anytime you want. And if you wake up at 3 in the morning and you get a headache, well, you know, you take your Advil and, I think I'll check in on One Life to Live. And there you are. So we have been emphasizing this is the best thing that's ever happened to soap viewers. And it's resonating not only with kids like, you know, my son's age. I got two sons in their mid-20s. Well, this is the way they watch. They watch it on demand. They don't wait for 1 o'clock to come around.
Mm-hmm.
And they watch it on whatever they want to watch it on, their PC or their phones and their tablets or even, heaven forbid, a television.
Yeah.
And so this is a new way of doing things, and continuing story like soaps are just built for this kind of technology.
That's true. And I have to laugh about one thing, is because my daughter, and actually all my kids, now that I think about it, they'll not only have the TV on, but they'll have their computer on or their tablet or whatever they're using.
Yes, right.
And sitting there watching both things. And I'm forever walking into the living room or their bedroom and saying, why do you have to have the TV on and have the computer on? How could you watch two things at one time? You know, Mom, I am. Don't worry about it, you know.
Mom, they're multitasking.
Yeah.
They have two, maybe three things going.
I like that term.
Yes.
Well, I'm good at multitasking, but it's not easy to watch the TV and then something online at the same time for me, because I like to know what's going on, especially when something is fast-paced. And,
yeah.
And you know, when you're watching it even, like, on your phone, I mean, that's a tiny screen. You really got to pay attention, you know. So I'll stick with the TV or the desktop and watch one thing at a time. But it is wonderful to be able to watch One Life to Live and all my children at any time of the day or the night. And watch
it
more than one time.
That's nice.
It's just a dream.
Yeah.
It's a match made in heaven between technology and the people who want to watch continuing stories.
Exactly. Well, I don't want to keep this caller waiting too long, because I do believe that this caller is the one from way far away. So let me try to go ahead and pick this up. Would you mind, Jerry?
Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Okay, hello, Rachel,
Pam?
Is this you? Yes, it is.
Hi, Pam. It's Rachel calling from Australia.
Hi.
Hello, Rachel.
Hi, how are you going? Hi, Pam. Hey, Jerry. How's it going?
Good. What time is it there?
It's about 9:30 in the morning on Friday.
Oh, okay.
Morning. Yeah, how you doing, Jerry? I just wanted to say congratulations on the new show.
Well, thank you very much. I'm doing very well. Like I was telling Pam and David, I just got back from where they taped today, and it was a very nice day where you're going to see on Fridays, it's going to be like a recap, and then they're going to tease you for what's coming up the next week, and then they're going to have interviews with actors and maybe some outtakes, and it's just going to be a good time, and I taped that today, and that's going to be a very successful thing. And then,
starting
next week, we go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday with new shows.
Oh, that's fantastic. And how are you finding the process so far? Are you having a good time doing it?
Yes, I'm getting used to it now. And we're all sort of getting into a groove. And I think that's going to improve the product that you see on the screen, too, because we're all sort of getting into our comfort level.
Oh, that's great. Any chance of Bad Clint returning, or we have to wait and see?
I think there's a very good chance.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. and I'm not giving away too much or anything specific, but I think there's a really good chance of that happening, yes.
Oh, that's good. I'm very happy for you. It's actually a bit difficult for me to watch the show here in Australia, but I've found a way of doing so. So I just wanted to let you know that you've got support everywhere, and it's so great to have you back on the screen. We've missed you so much, so it's fantastic.
Well, thank you. Thank you for calling, and thank you for finding a way to find us.
Yes. Yeah, it's been a very interesting experience, but I want to thank a few friends out there who I know who are listening who helped me to watch the show this week. I really appreciate it, and it's just so phenomenal to see you again, and congratulations, and keep up the great work.
Thanks so much. You're a wonderful person to call in. Thank you.
And Jerry,
Jerry.
Rachel is one that is forever the Buchanan boys. What's going on with the Buchanan boys? You know, so you and Bo are her men.
They certainly are.
Yes.
And just tell that brother of yours, we're so glad that he came out of retirement.
Yeah.
I'll pass that along, Rachel.
Yeah, no worries. Well, thank you so much, Jerry. It's so great to have you back. Thank you, Pam and David, for having me on the show again. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome,
very
Rachel. Well.
Okay,
enjoy your day.
Guys. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
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 What a sweetheart.
She
is.
She is.
Yeah.
She was scared to call in. She didn't want to sound like a silly person. I said, no, you have to call in. I mean, she is just so over the moon for you and Bo or Bob Woods, and she just loves you guys so much. So she had to call in.
I'm glad she called in. I'm glad she found a way to. I'm kind of curious as to, you know, what way she found to, you know, get us on the screen.
You know, that's what I'm going to email her after the show and ask her, because I'm sure that there are more fans outside of the U.S. and Canada that would love to watch it. And,
yes.
You know,
and if
I'll
she's
on
to something, she should pass it along.
Yes. And I will pass that information along to Wendy as well, and she can let you know.
Okay, do that, Pam.
I will. Well, we do have another caller, and area code 972, you're on the air.
Hi.
Is this Barbara?
Yes. I'm judging us.
Hello, Barbara.
Hi. I get your newsletter every month, and it's so interesting. I just love it.
Oh, good. I'm glad you enjoy that.
Oh, I do. I'm so glad that y'all are back on. I've watched all the shows, and they're so good. And
now, how do you watch them, Barbara?
I watched them on, I first watched them on Hulu, and then yesterday I got Hulu Plus. And,
oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah. And I have, my computer has HD, and I mean, I have a laptop, but they're so clear, and the sets are so pretty. I mean, it really is nice. It's just so nice to have y'all back.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And isn't it fun to have us back whenever you want?
Yes.
I know. You wake up in the morning and you can do it over your coffee.
No, I don't get up early because I don't go to bed till really late.
Well, then at noon, whenever you get up, you can watch it.
I've been watching it like at about 3:30 in the afternoon.
Perfect.
And so I watch One Life to Live, and then I watch all my children.
Oh, good. I'm glad you have your shows back.
Oh, you just don't know how happy we are. We fought so hard and wrote so many letters and joined so many groups that it's just like a miracle because we never thought it would happen. So it's
Isn't it nice to know that miracles do happen?
Yeah,
and that
yeah.
all your efforts were for the good.
Yes. I can't tell you how much it means to me. A lot.
Oh, good.
Well, and Barbara is very shy. She doesn't normally call in, so no. This says a lot that she did call in this time.
Yes, it is.
Well, I'm proud that you called in, Barbara. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I love you.
I love you, too, and I'll see you in Landview.
Okay.
All right.
Barbara.
Thanks,
bye-bye,
Barbara.
Honey.
She's so sweet. She's so shy. She didn't know what to say, and look, she got her sentences out just fine.
Yes, she did. She was wonderful.
But, you know, I hear emotion in her voice, and that's how we've all felt. The first episodes, you know, just made you want to cry, and a lot of us did cry to see it back.
You know, at our premiere, a lot of people they would applaud at every character that came on. I mean, they saw Nigel, they'd applaud. Everybody who came on, they were just so happy to see them back. That,
you know
what?
That was the biggest surprise for me.
Yes.
Was when I saw Nigel. When I saw Nigel, I tweeted out in capital letters, Nigel, they brought Nigel back.
I know. Well, these are the characters that, you know, make up the fictional world that we're in. It's
mm-hmm.
the Nigels and, you know, all those other people who make up this town of Landview.
Right.
And when the audience at the premiere, and like I said, there were fans there, when everybody came on from, you know, supporting characters to, you know, Erica Slezak, they all went, oh, and there was a sort of, you know, gasp, and they'd applaud and cheer, and it was just sort of, well, it's really happening is, you know, what we keep repeating, and that's what they were saying with that.
Well, what did Jerry do on his time off?
Well, I was fully ready to retire, but on my time off, which seemed to be a blessing in disguise, because my oldest son, right in the middle of my year off, got married. So I got to spend an awful lot of time doing a lot of to-do lists, getting ready for the wedding. So,
well, congratulations.
Oh, thank you. It was a very nice wedding, and we love our new daughter-in-law. And
helps.
I mean, it was just sort of the perfect time to have 10 months off.
Mm-hmm. Well, it helps when you like your daughter-in-law too.
Yes, it really helps. Yeah. Yes.
Now I know that what was it, October of last year? You had your Stars and Strikes event. How did that go?
It went wonderfully, and last year was number 9 for Daytime Stars and Strikes. And this year, of course, will be our decade anniversary. And this year it's on Sunday, October 13th. It's in Times Square in New York at Bomar. And you can go to daytimestarsandstrikes.com or jerryverdorn.com, or you can Google anything with those words in it and find out about it. And the American Cancer Society has always been so grateful to us as we turn over a big check to them at the end of each year.
Oh,
because
I'm sure.
All the money goes to the American Cancer Society, and all my elves, as we call them, Jerry's elves, just volunteer their time. They volunteer their getting to New York. They volunteer everything. And, of course, you have talked with Wendy.
Mm-hmm.
She constructs the whole thing. And this year is kind of a special year because of what's happened. But last year, when the show was not on the air, we had so many people supporting us, even though there was no show on the air to support. But I had a feeling even then, and I think I gave some things away because people were asking me, well, are you going to do it next year even though you're not? And I would say yes, but I had heard rumors, you know, that something was going to happen, so I might have let the cat out of the bag a little.
Maybe they didn't get it.
Oh, good.
Yeah, maybe,
but it's going to be kind of a celebration this year that we're all back together electronically and, you know, every other way. And we're looking forward to one more Daytime Stars and Strikes again.
Is Liz Kiefer going to be heading that with you?
Elizabeth Kiefer will be there with bells on, yes.
Oh, wonderful.
And, I'm going to try and get Elizabeth Kiefer on. I think she should be on One Life to Live.
Oh, definitely.
She lives very
she
close
was.
To where we tape, yes.
Yeah, she was at one point, and I know she has a lot going on. We just spoke with her not too long ago on air, and it was great catching up with her, and she's into life coaching now. So, you know, just she's keeping herself busy.
Yeah, she's a very talented lady, and yeah, she was on One Life to Live at the very beginning of her career. I mean, she was just a little girl, just fresh into town. But she had a recurring role in One Life to Live, and it would be nice to see her on it again.
Yeah, do you know anybody else that will be at the event at this point?
No, I don't at this point because it's way too early, and actors are very, well, how should we politely put this, disorganized or...
No.
unorganized until crunch times come. And so we usually, but we will have a lot of people from CBS, Guiding Light, World Turns, and of course all the ABC shows and the All My Children people who remain on the East Coast. And a lot of them do for the holiday season because they started on the East Coast. So there's going to be a nice turnout, I'm sure.
Well, that'll be wonderful, and I'm really hoping that I can eventually get to one of these events. It's not really easy these days, but October's a little ways off, so maybe I can ask for an early Christmas present or something.
Yeah, do that. And we regard the Daytime Stars and Stripes as the unofficial start of the holiday shopping season.
Right.
And because there's, you know, we have this auction, and there's an awful lot of things you can bid on, big and small, stocking stuffers and surprises for people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's when, for us, the season starts.
Yeah, and
so,
for
yeah, ask for an early Christmas present because you'll love the event.
Oh, I know I will. My friend Stacy that went to it last year, you had invited her, and she told me all about it, and she was just in tears. She just couldn't believe what was happening and that she was there.
Well, it is and always has been from day one, even when we were a baby event and nobody knew really what we were doing. We were just doing stuff. And now it's a rather mature event, but it is still intimate and it is still different from any other event that I've ever been to. And everybody who goes to it always writes me or calls me and says, this is different from anything I've ever experienced.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always, you know, so grateful to hear things like this. And this is from cancer survivors and, you know, caregivers and, you know, the whole spectrum of what goes on
right.
with the disease.
Right. Well, my mom passed away of breast cancer, oh gosh, it's about 22 years now. So I always try to donate either time or money if I have it, or just spread the word to, you know, get money for funding for research and stuff like that. So what you're doing is very close to my heart as well, and I thank you for that.
Yes. Oh, you're most welcome. And I have a lot of people tell me things very similar to what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what is going to free us from cancer eventually, is all these wonderful emotions and people acting on the emotions by going to events and runs and Relay for Life and all this. It's eventually down the road, it's going to pay off, and we're not going to have to worry about cancer anymore.
Right, right.
It would be,
and
be great.
From your lips, you know, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
I have a daughter out of four children. I only have one daughter, and I make sure that she listens to me every time I tell her, well, it's time to go to the doctor. You know, it's not time for a mammogram yet because she's only 22, but,
right.
you know, you still have to keep in touch
Don't
with
your
body
physical.
And find out what's
yeah.
going on.
Yeah. And isn't it strange, one of the first mentions of cancer on television was on Guiding Light when our matriarch character, Bert Bauer,
yes.
mentioned, I think this was in like 1961 or 2, when they had a storyline with Bert Bauer having cervical cancer. And to mention, you know, cervical or cancer, I mean, it was just like that had never been done on television. And Daytime was leading the way. And, of course, the way Daytime is built, they could tell the story of her going through this cancer situation day by day in real time, which is how, obviously, people do it. So, you know, the soaps, they have led the way in so many show business situations because they are telling story in real time. And
mm-hmm.
so, you know, it's easier for whatever situation human beings go through. It's easier to tell the story if you're dealing in real time. You don't have to compress story or expand it.
Exactly. And just
Very
it
cool.
gives it so much more out to the public that people may not know or be aware of the different things that they can do to help a loved one or themselves, you know, that are going through this. So TV does a lot. Soaps are not more than just being an escape.
That's a very profound thing to say, Pam, because I've found that to be true. I think it's because we're on 5 days a week and we never take a break during the year that we sort of become this shadow family for a lot of people. And you can deal with an awful lot of things that human beings go through in a much more meaningful way because we do have this relationship with the audience.
Mm-hmm.
that's unique in show business. I mean, you don't get that with movies. I mean, once the two-hour movie is over, it can affect you for a week or so. But, you know, in dealing with soaps, and you see the story being told from, you know, let's say diagnosis to whatever the ending of the story is, it's much different and way more profound. And that's why I think I was telling, I don't know, I think it was to Wendy, and I was saying, I've had so many people say things to me that transcend just, oh, I'm so grateful to have a TV show back.
Right.
It was, I'm so grateful to have a piece of me back, or, you know, it was way emotional and from a deep and meaningful place and in their hearts that they were saying these things to me. And, you know, I'm saying, well, I'm so glad we are back, and I'm glad we make a difference.
Yeah, and you really do. You enlighten our lives in so many different ways. It's just, I mean, there's not enough words to express it.
No, there really isn't. You're basically, inform as much as you entertain, and either way, it's, you know, it's 100%.
That's very true. We do have one more caller, and then we'll let you go because we know you've had a really long day, if you wouldn't mind. Let me go ahead and pick this one up. Area code 508, you're live on the air.
Hello, Pam and Jerry. This is Stacy.
Ah, the one I was just speaking of.
That's right.
Hello, Stacy.
Hi. Welcome
How are
back, you?
You
guys. Oh, I am. Oh, I can't even put it into words. I'm so thrilled that One Life to Live is back.
Well,
thrilled.
How are you watching it now?
I'm actually I've figured out how to use my smart TV. See, you guys.
Oh, good for you. Are you a Hulu girl? You watch it?
Yep. I decided to go for the Hulu Plus. And
that's a very good deal.
The first time I saw it on the computer first, but the first time I saw it on the big screen, I cried. I was just like, wow. Because, I mean, that was the reason I bought the TV, because I was like, I hadn't given up faith that we were going to somehow bring the soaps back. And it's just been very, I guess, surreal.
I mean, when you first saw the opening, and then you saw Lord Library again, I mean, it was just sort of, was it a reaffirmation to you? Like, my God, this is really happening?
Yeah, I had to pinch myself a few times.
I know.
But I'm very much enjoying. I think I've watched that first episode about 10 times or so.
Yeah, that was a good episode.
That one probably memorized. And it's funny because people say different things, and some people are very much against the curse words, and, you know, I've heard it here, there, and everywhere. So I had to listen to it 4 times before I even noticed anyone was cursing, because I was like, it just seemed to kind of, I guess, go with the vibe of the story. So
I know.
I didn't feel like it was just, like, interjected out there for shock value.
Right.
So,
that's exactly the way they want it to be, because, well, the young people, you know, probably, especially when they're drinking, they're in a club, they'll speak one way. But
yeah.
I don't think you'll see a Victoria Lord dropping an F-bomb.
No.
No,
I wouldn't expect that.
I mean, it will, as they say, we'll keep it real.
Yeah.
No, but I think they did a great job with Landfair, and I like the new sets. You know, it's taken some time to just kind of get used to that it's the same, but it's different, if that makes any
sense.
Yes,
exactly.
Same show, but it's you know, different isn't, sometimes people think of different as a bad thing. I don't necessarily think that at all. I think a lot of times if you embrace change, it can be a very good thing. So
it can be a very good thing, and I think you're going to enjoy very much Vicky and Clint's storyline with the newspaper of our town called The Banner.
Yep.
Because it involves the new character, Jeffrey, is played by Corbin Blue. And you're going to fall in love with this kid, because He works so well with Erica, and he connects the storylines between the generations.
Okay.
And he's just a sweetheart. And you're,
yeah, and that's
like
the other
I say,
thing.
You're just going
to
fall in love with
him. You guys back, and I'm great to see Robin back. So we've got some vets, we've got some new people. I know.
Yep.
I was a big Eddie Alderson fan, and I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to feel about. I instantly liked the new Matthew, and that's not to take anything away from Eddie. It's just, again, it's different. So
yes, and they
not
wanted
better
to,
or worse. It's different. So
they wanted to age that character, and
yep.
Robert, who plays the new Matthew, is he watched all these tapes. He knows the story, and I think you're going to really, really enjoy his performance.
I feel like something has been missing since January 13th, you know, and that's when life went off.
Yes.
Had gone off 6 months before that, but One Life, you know, both of them really, you know, hit. But after One Life, it's now been a little over a year, and now it's just, I feel like that part, piece of my life that was missing, as crazy as this may sound to some people, is back.
I know.
It's
how many
crazy.
Times could you go to YouTube and watch reruns? And
mm-hmm.
Well, I thank you for and you and millions of other fans for hanging in there and writing letters and writing emails, because it all made a difference. It not only said to people who canceled this, but it said to people who wanted to do us again, Prospect Park, that it was a big sign of don't give up. We're out here. You have an
right.
audience.
Absolutely.
Don't give up.
And I'm shooting for the moon. I'm being selfish. I want to see Guiding Light. I want to see As the World Turns. I want to see Another World. I'd love to see all these old soaps come right back. Hey, they did it with Dallas, and they had huge success with that. So when that happened, I said, you know what? Don't count anything out. They took this
show.
No,
and I'm here to tell you don't count anything out, because Prospect Park has invented a business model that other people may copycat. So I don't think any show is off the table.
Yeah. So it's very exciting. And thank you guys both. Thank you, Pam, so much.
You're welcome.
I know.
I'm glad
I know you facilitated the daytime, Stars and Strikes. And I hope to see you there again this year, Jerry.
I'll be there with bells on, dear.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you, guys.
Thanks, Stacey. Have a good one.
Thanks for calling in.
Yep.
Bye-bye. Well, how wonderful. I want to thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule and busy day and chatting with us. It's wonderful to catch up, and we'd love to have you back in the future to talk about all the new episodes and everything else going on, and, of course, the Stars and Strikes. And just for our listeners, you don't actually have to bowl, but if you want to be a bowler, it's $110 by snail mail. I just saw snail mail.
Right.
It's funny. $115 for PayPal. If you want to be a spectator, it's $75 snail mail and $80 PayPal. T-shirts are included. And don't forget to include your size. And you can go to daytimestarsandstrikes.com or jerryverdarn.com.
That's absolutely correct, Pam. Very good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, one other question. Are you ever going to get on Twitter?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be the day, won't it?
Yeah. You've done everything else now. You're on Hulu and iTunes.
I'm on Hulu, and I've been doing email for 8 years. So I'm slowly but surely being dragged into the new media.
Well, we'll welcome you with open arms if you ever do. So,
okay.
Take care of yourself. Say hello to everybody from us and tell them we all love them and thanks for coming back.
Well, David, Pam, thank you very much for doing this.
You're very welcome.
You're very welcome.
All right, have
sir.
A good night.
You too.
You
thanks,
too.
Jerry. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, David, did you ever think you'd see the day that we'd be able to talk to our guests from canceled soaps that are now back?
No, I did not.
No.
I can actually say that.
Yep. I mean, you know, you can speak to any of the actors from canceled soaps or canceled primetime shows and, you know, still have a good time and reminisce and talk about their new projects and such. But to talk to guests from shows that have been canceled, our soaps, is just unreal. And I'm just so very happy.
I am too. I mean, this is been like a dream for me. Because I always wanted to be close to the business, but not really in the business. You know, I want,
mm-hmm.
you know, I just wanted them to know who I was.
Mm-hmm.
And know that I'm behind them and like that.
Exactly. And now you have your chance. And I think we've both had a lot of fun doing this.
Yes, I definitely have.
And I thank you for all your hard work.
Oh, well, you're very welcome. I wouldn't have it any other way.
Thanks, you're sweet. Now, I wanted to let our listeners know that we are taking a few days off, but on Monday, May 6th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, we're going to have as our special guest Terry Ivins. And most of you will know her from All My Children as Simone Torres. So please join us as we chat about All My Children, her previous projects, and her upcoming projects, which she has new movies coming out. So we want to find out more about it, and I watched the trailer for it, and it's a really funny movie. So we'll find out more from Terry then on May 6th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And on Tuesday, May 7th, we have Lisa Kamen, and she's a life coach and an actress and a radio and television host, and she helps with PTSD. She's in the veterans area. She does, like, there's a million things that this woman does. I mean, it would probably take a whole show for me to tell you what she does. So just tune in on May 7th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time as we chat with her, and it should be a very inspirational show. And with that, I want to thank everybody for listening tonight and for our callers that called in. Thank you, Rachel, all the way from Australia. I'm waving at you. Can you see me?
Can you see
Wave
me, Rachel?
David.
I'm waving to you too, Rachel.
And Barbara. I didn't know that was your phone number, but aren't you glad you got to talk?
Yeah, Barbara, God bless you.
That was good. So now you've done that twice, so I expect you to call in a lot more often. Also, follow us on Twitter at Take Two Radio, and David and Sabina, who is my other co-host, follow them on Twitter at Take Two Radio Crew. Check out the website at take2radio.com. Everything is with the number 2. I have on the website upcoming guests, previous podcasts. I have uploaded all my Children and One Life to Live episodes daily from Hulu and many other things on there. And I want to say that I want to give a huge, huge, huge thank you to all of our listeners, to my co-host, and, of course, our guests, because without the guests, we wouldn't have a show. We've reached the 1 million mark and maybe a little over that for listeners within less than 6 months. So I thank each and every one of you for that. I'm very blessed to be able to do this and to have you all here with me. So thank you for that. And also you can listen to the shows on iTunes. Haha, I almost forgot again.
Yeah.
Follow
hopefully
us on Blog Talk and those. Pardon?
Ethan, and hopefully someday we might make it to Hulu Plus.
Yeah, right. Follow us on Blog Talk and I'll send you an email each and every time we have a guest set up to be interviewed, and please call in. Don't be shy. Everybody loves to talk to their fans. And the phone number is 1-718-506-1540 and press the number 1. And with that, I'm going to say thank you, David, again for an enjoyable evening and for joining
Very
me
well.
Here tonight. And everybody enjoy the rest of their night. Keep watching All My Children and One Life to Live. We want to keep them on air again for another 40 years.
That's
true. God bless everybody and have a good night.
Have a good night, everybody.
Good night, David.
Good night.